Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
When you find yourself, praise the Lord. The Word of God says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Verse 2, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes." Everybody say, beauty for ashes. "The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Now look at verse 4. "And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us today in a message that I've simply entitled, "Beauty for Ashes." Beauty for Ashes. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity, and yes, ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for this word. Let it go forth in power and demonstration of your Spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. I want to begin this first segment with you. And I thought this is one of the most interesting, I heard this the other day, one of the most interesting thoughts of the Holy Spirit. I am a firm believer in the structure and the calculus of God's word. And one of the things that really helps us when we study God's word is that Scripture always interprets Scripture. You will never find anywhere in the Bible where God contradicts himself. Now, things may be written a little different. Descriptions may be a little bit off-center from one another, but they never contradict one another. And I saw something that was so interesting to me. When you begin to study the homiletics of God's word, you find that one of the key things, other than Scripture, interpreting Scripture, you find something called the first mention. There's a principle. There's a principle of the first mention. In other words, when you open God's word and you see something that is first mentioned, that pretty well foreshadows and helps us understand who that person is or what that person is or whatever category or subject you're trying to study. I saw something that I thought was really powerful and interesting. The first mention of the Holy Spirit. When you begin to look and you open God's word and you see where in the world is the Holy Spirit first mentioned, well, it's very simple. You see in the book of Genesis and Bereshit, the very beginning, God speaks of how the Spirit of God is moving on the waters. And so when you see something that is first mentioned, then you want to know what was mentioned about the Spirit of God. And here it is. The Spirit of God was moving. How many here this morning you could say, I'm filled with the Spirit of God? I have the Holy Spirit in my life. This is so important and crucial for you and I to understand. If we proclaim, if we say that we have God's Spirit in our life, then we should be moving. That means when we are praising and we're worshiping, and you say, well, I'm not an emotional person, it has nothing to do with emotions. It has nothing to do with being hypersensitive or superficial. It has everything to do with giving God praise and glory and honor. And so when I first see the Holy Spirit, he's moving. That's what God is saying to the church. I want the church. I want it back to the place where he or she is moving in my presence. He's not or she is not sitting still in a dead congregation. No, we are praising and worshiping and acting and being full of action and liberty, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty in his house. Well, so this brings me to my first segment, because I believe this is what God is saying to you right now. Not just to those that are listening on social media, those that will watch this later on YouTube, but what God is saying to us right now: the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Other than having the Word of God, which the Bible is so important, other than having the Word of God in your hands, I believe that one of the greatest gifts we have in the body of Christ is God's promise that His Spirit is with us. That the Spirit of God is upon us. This is the problem, Brother Jeff, this is the problem. The problem the body of Christ has is they are not living and operating as God's Spirit is upon us. We say, yes, God's Spirit is upon us, but we find ourselves lacking and coming up short. Am I right? Am I preaching in the right place today? Well, we're about to find out, because listen to what the Apostle Paul says to Galatia. Now remember, Galatia was a very foolish group of people. They were allowing witchcraft to enter into their minds and into their churches. And he's like, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? And so Paul has to come in and he has to correct some of their false teaching, some of their coming to agreement with demonic powers. And Paul's trying to explain to them how to have freedom and liberty through the things that they're facing. Look what he writes to Galatians in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. He says, for brethren, you have been called unto what? Liberty. Unto liberty. But he says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Look at 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But look at the next verse. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, in the next verse, he says, walk in the Spirit. Everybody say, walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. And so what we are being challenged right now, if the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, then we must endeavor to walk in the Spirit. You guys are weak today, but how many believe that? Well, this is why. There will always be a fight over the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to come to church. The flesh doesn't want to lift up holy hands. The flesh wants to rather sit and, I know this far too much. The flesh wants to sit in a recliner with a remote and watch the football game. Right? Instead of opening up the Word of God and studying and maybe move around a little bit. Amen. Can I have an amen? But some of the problems, and this is the problem, some of the problems with the body of Christ is the lack of discipline from the lust of the flesh. The lust to bash people with your tongue. The lust to lie. The lust of racism. The lust of sexual sins. The lust of mind-altering drugs. The lust to steal. The lust to be lethargic and lazy. And the lust to destroy. That is where the body of Christ is dealing with. We must deal with the flesh. Listen, the Spirit of God is upon you. And the reason He's on us is not to just make you feel good. And I think this is what has happened. We just want to come to church to feel good. But let me just tell you, there are times you're going to come to church, and if the truth is preached, you're not going to feel good. You're going to get hit by the truth. God's going to work some things out of your life. It's not always about feeling good. It's about walking in faith and obedience and compliance to Him and obeying what He says. Amen. God sent us the Holy Spirit to make us witnesses of God's power, to make us witnesses of God's love, to make us witnesses of God's grace and God's mercy. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Here it is. Right before us. It's on your screen. Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power. Everybody say power. After what? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be. You shall be movie stars. You shall be Hollywood holiness. You shall be. No, it's not that. He's wanting us to be witnesses. witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That means a witness for God wherever you go. But if the Spirit of God is not operating in our life, He's not resting on us, we're not witnessing. We're talking about ourselves. We're shining our own light. We're not talking about what God has done for us. We're talking about everything else. And God is wanting to help us make a collision between divinity and humanity and say, look, I've got to make a decision. I want His Spirit operating and activating in my life. Amen? Over 100 years ago, I read this the other day to my wife, and I found this interesting. Over 100 years ago, there were what they would call them one-way missionaries. These one-way missionaries, they would purchase single tickets to the mission field without the return half. They were just going to the mission field and they would never would come back. Instead of suitcases, Pastor Carl, what they did is they packed all their earthly belongings, which wasn't very much, and they put them inside coffins. One-way missionaries. One of these one-way missionaries was a man by the name of A.W. Milne. You may have heard of him. He set sail for the New Hebrides in the South Pacific, knowing that headhunters who lived there martyred every missionary before him. He knew that. But he did not fear for his life because he had already died to himself. His coffin was packed. But get this. For 35 years, he lived among that tribe, and he loved that tribe. And when he died, the tribe members buried him in the middle of their village, and they inscribed this following epitaph on his tombstone. And it said this, when he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. Can they say that about us? Can they say, this is my question. My question's simple. When did we start believing that God wants to send us to safe places to do easy things? When has that become part of our assignment? God, I will go, but send me to the safe place. Send me to the rich neighborhoods. Send me to the suburbans where there's no violence. Send me to the places where there's, you know, no poverty. Send me to places where there's no drugs. Send me to places where there's no prostitution. Send me to places where there's no fighting between the whites and the blacks. Send me to places where there's no pride and no racism and no anger. See, where is it in God's word that God tells us He's just going to make everything rosy for us and send us to the safe places and let us only do the easy things. This is what God is trying to tell us today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us that we may go out and do exactly what He's called us to do. Let me say this. Faithfulness is not holding the fort, but it's storming the gates of hell. Faithfulness is not sitting in your pew and letting somebody else do it. Faithfulness is not, oh, Pastor Carl, he can drive the van. He can go on the streets and pick these kids up on Wednesday nights. He's doing a great job. Faithfulness, and I'll just sit back and let somebody else do it. I'll sit back and let somebody else teach these kids on Wednesday night. Faithfulness is not just sitting back and just holding the fort down. Faithfulness is saying, you know what? I'm going to knock on the next door. I'm going to go into the gates of hell, and I'm going to tell them about the love and the hope of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't die to keep you safe. Jesus died to make you dangerous. I want people to know that for the kingdom of God, I want us to be dangerous. I want God, you know how long, you know how many times that this church, Gospel Lighthouse, some of you know, has been to the point where it wanted to close its doors and just give up and quit. Oh, God's not called us just to be safe. Right? And listen, you say, well, this is meaningless. What you're saying holds a little gravity. You have no idea what's going on in this nation right now. You have no idea. I have some inside information from some missionaries and some people that are telling me what they're doing and what they're getting ready to do in this nation. Folks, you better get yourselves together, because it's going to get really, it's going to be a rough ride. But you're going to have to make a decision this morning. Do I want to walk with the Spirit of God on my life? Listen to this story. Over 100 years ago, a British revivalist, he challenged the life, a city, and a generation with these words. So listen to these words. They're going to be on your screen. Put them up there, Caleb. It says this. It says, the world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man who is full and wholly consecrated to him. Isn't that amazing? But get this. Sitting in that crowd was a young man. And when those words hit his eardrum, they didn't just fire from one ear and out of the other. That call shot straight to his soul. That young man was D.L. Moody, one of the greatest evangelists. They say that D.L. Moody, historians say that D.L. Moody witnessed one-on-one to a million people. Wow. It's amazing. The truth is that anytime God is going to do something amazing and miraculous in your life, God will call you to consecrate yourself unto Him. What is consecration? Anybody know what consecration is? Let me give you the simple definition. What consecration simply means full devotion in setting yourself apart. That's what consecration is. And why does God call us into consecration? Why is He telling us the Spirit of the Lord is upon you? Why is He calling us? This is why we cannot do God's job for Him. That's the bottom line. I cannot do God's job for Him. And so I have to consecrate myself. I have to be fully devoted in setting myself apart. Consecration is more than behavioral modification. Consecration is more than conformity to a moral code. It's more than just doing good deeds. It's full devotion. You know, people can go to church, Brother Vernon. People can go to church every week for the rest of their lives, but never fully devote their lives to God. They can follow the rules, but never follow Christ. We are, and listen, and I think I've been guilty sometimes with this. We are cheapening the gospel of Jesus by allowing people to buy into the gospel without ever selling out. I tell people, yeah, come, and, you know, but we never challenge them to sell out. It's amazing today. Because amazing and miraculous always begins with consecration. It will always begin with consecration. I found this really amazing, this story I heard. One of the best stories I think I've ever heard before. And it had to do with a violin. I thought this was incredible when I heard this story. This story about it was a famous violinist. And what he did is he ordered a manufacturer to make him the very best instrument that he could ever produce. This manufacturer is well known. He said, I want you to make the best violin that you've ever made. And so the manufacturer was proud of what he built, and he brought the violin to this famous violinist. He brought the instrument there, and when he was delivered, the violinist began to play it, and the tone did not please him. He did not like the tone of the violin. And so this famous violinist, in his anger, he took the violin, and he took it up, and he smashed it, broke it into several pieces. The manufacturer picked up all the broken pieces of the violin,
He took every piece he could find. He was humiliated. He was disappointed. He was embarrassed because he really thought he had made the best. But he took all these pieces of that violin. He recreated the violin with the original pieces, and he sent it back to this violinist. The violinist picked it up, this famous violinist picked it up, and he began to play it. And he was charmed with the tone. He said this was the best tone that he had ever heard, He was surprised, though. He was so surprised to learn that the violin he was playing was the very violin that he had broken to bits. And this is my point, and listen closely. The broken part of the violin made a tone and a sound that the original could never make. God is bringing many of you beauty for ashes. Some of you have been crushed. Some of you were going through a good time, things were going fine, and all of a sudden, crushing took place. You were challenged, and you were broken, and your life was like in shambles. But then God begins to strengthen you, and God begins to form you, and God begins to mold you and shape you. And now you have much better tone than you could ever produce without ever before the times you were broken. I know exactly what you're going through. The brokenness is going to produce a much better tone and sound that we could never produce without it. That's why some of you are going through broken times. Listen, anytime God is going to do something amazing and miraculous in your life, God will call you to consecrate yourself to Him. That is the possibility why you've been going through the broken moments. It's God is saying, I'm consecrating you. I'm separating you. I'm forming you because I'm about to allow you to sing a new song. Look at Isaiah 61. It said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. When I look at that list, it looks like a lot of people need help. Amen? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. So this is what I'm seeing. I am fully convinced that God doesn't do what God does because of us. God doesn't do that because of me. He's not doing it because of me. God does what God does in spite of me. All God is telling JC is to stay out of the way. John the Baptist said this, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, I must decrease that He may increase. How many can say this morning, I want to decrease that Christ may increase within me? Let me tell you this, and I think this is so important. It's going to be on your screen. Your next move is critical. Your next move is critical. I'm telling you, I've seen this for years. People, I do not tell people what to do and how to make their decisions. I will advise them. I say, well, just be, you know, if you pray about it and you seek the Lord. I'm not a dictator. I'm not telling them what to do. But I've seen people get out of the will of God and it's cost them their lives. I've seen people get out of the will of God and they've been in, ended up in divorce. I've seen people get out of the will of God and they're financially ruined. I've seen people get out of the will of God and they've told me, well, I feel like God is... And they said, well, I'm doing this for my children. And their children went straight to prison. This is so important. Your next move is critical. Right now. Listen, your destiny, it's going to be on your screen. Your destiny is not a ministry. A mystery. Your destiny is not a mystery. Your destiny is a decision. It's every decision you make every decision you make, you and I are just one step away from beauty for ashes. We're just one step away from that violin that has been crushed and recreated. We're just one step away from beauty for ashes. And it brings me to my life point. You're only one decision away from a totally different life. You're just one. Listen, my heart is heavy. Since August 21st, the death of my mom, there has not been a burial. I was thinking, and I woke myself up the other night, and Pastor Carl, you're absolutely right. I've been up 2:30, 3:30, all praying. And I still haven't been able to do this because there's a lot of stuff. I don't need to go into detail. There's a lot of stuff. Somebody says, well, I know what it's like. You lost your mom. You have no idea what it's like. You don't know the sleepless hours that I have been facing. The torment. Thinking to myself, my mom is cold and she's not even buried yet. And I think of this story and this picture when I found it. I just began to bawl and cry. Because I thought of the time my mom's husband, who was a pastor, had died. And they had been together for a number of years. You know, and he had died. And she was all alone at this church. And she was pastoring. And so I remember going with her to the board, the PCG board, and went there. And she said, I still want to pastor. And she went and met before the board. And the board unanimously said, yeah, we still want you to pastor. And they gave her credentials. And she pastored. And I was so proud of her when I was there that day. And so Mother's Day decided, you know what, I've been in the ministry for so long, I never get to go anywhere on Sundays. On Mother's Day, I told my wife, I said, you've got the service. I'm driving to Paris, and I'm going to surprise my mom. And I grabbed a rose. I'll never forget this. And she was up there, and they didn't have a piano player. They didn't have any music. And there was about 15 people there in this little old church. And I grabbed that rose, and I walked in, and I was so proud and happy. And I stood there in the aisle, and she saw me, and she began to cry. And she said, come up. And I said, I'm not preaching. I'm just here. And I gave her her rose, and she said, I want you to play the piano. So I played the piano for him and stuff. Man. We are just one step away. Pastor Jamie, you're one step away from beauty for ashes. Some of you are just one. Sister Janie, one step away from beauty for ashes. Listen, you're only one decision away from a totally different life. George MacDonald wrote this, and I thought this was interesting. He says, whatever a man does without God, he will either fail miserably or succeed even more miserably. We can't operate without God. We must have the Spirit of the Lord upon us. And this is the theme. This is the season that Gospel Lighthouse Church we're in. We are in moments of healing. We're in moments of forgiveness. We are in moments of restoration. That's where we are at right now. God, Sister Linda Wallen, God has been challenging all of us to rebuild, to replant, to rise up, and to repair. That's what God is calling us to do. No, we're not just sitting here in a safe place. No, we are rebuilding, we're replanting, we're rising up, we're repairing. And that's what Isaiah 61:4 was saying. They shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And listen to me today. If God is in it, God is going before us. He's just looking for a few good men that says, yes, we will pull our bootstraps up and we will no longer settle for being at ease in Zion, but we will step out and step in into what God is calling us to do. Can somebody give the Lord a hand clap? And as with every challenge from God, there are always hurdles to overcome. Before there can be beauty for ashes, we must know how to respond to the difficult seasons that are upon us. A month ago, I was in my place of prayer. a little orange chair that Brother Billy Bratton repaired for my wife. It's my little altar. I was in my place of prayer, and I'm telling you, as plain as someone standing in front of you talking to you, I heard the Lord say these five words to me. He said, difficult seasons to deepen you. Difficult seasons to deepen you. I was in the shower this morning. I was so dizzy because I'm still dealing with the disembarkment syndrome, and I was so dizzy. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, hey, the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I said, thank you, God. I need that word this morning. So how you and I respond to difficult seasons will determine just how beautiful or ugly we become. How you respond to difficult seasons. Some of you right now, you are in a difficult season in your life. Trials are not to make you bitter, but they make you better. Am I right? Some of you are in difficult seasons. And I wanted to show you real quickly, three truths about difficulty. Number one, they're going to be on your screen. Number one, difficulty is not meant to be directional. Everybody say directional. That means this. Difficult moments can cause cheap providence. In other words, difficult moments can tempt you to devise an exit strategy. When is the last time you wanted to get out of a difficult situation? When's the last time things have been so hard in your life? You're like, I just want to quit. I just want to go. Listen, I've pastored. You have no idea how many times I said, well, man, the grass looks greener over here. Just to realize that it's worse over there than it is where you're at. Sometimes the grass looks greener over there is because there's more manure over there to fertilize that grass. Can I have an amen? Sometimes, and I want you to hear me, sometimes your strategy can lead you to tragedy. Sometimes your strategy can lead you to tragedy. Number two, difficulty is not meant to disseminate. Everybody say disseminate. Disseminate, it simply means this. It means to scatter or spread widely or broadcast. If you do not transform your pain, you're going through a difficult season. If you do not transform your pain, you will eventually transmit your pain to others. Am I right? We're talking about how to handle difficult times in our life. If you do not bind the spirit of Leviathan, you will eventually become dragged into someone else's offense and completely out of the will of God. That's, Sister Charlotte, that's what the spirit of Leviathan wants to do. Wants you to get you upset with somebody else's offense and try to drag you completely out of the will of God in your life. You are not that type of person. You are the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against you, he shall condemn. Don't risk your whole future, your destiny. Your one next move is so critical. Don't risk your next move because if somebody else is not happy with what's going on in someone else's life, stand your ground. Guard your pea patch. Saying, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hurting people hurt others. Hurting people hurt others. Number three, difficulty is meant to deepen you. Everybody say deepen you. I like what C.S. Lewis wrote. He said, God, it's on your screen, God who foresaw your tribulation has specifically armed you to go through it, not without pain, but without stain. Pastor Jamie, I don't know why I'm so directed to you, but I'm telling you, the only stain that you're ever going to see is the blood stain of Jesus Christ over your life. There's been other things and other people and situations that's trying to stain your name, trying to stain your life. But all you got to do is say, looky here, hold up the blood-stained robe of Jesus Christ and say, all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. My oh my, this is good preaching. I love Psalms 42 and 7. Look at it. It says deep. Everybody shout deep. Remember, difficulty is meant to deepen you. Listen to what it says. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. So we've all been there, right? Everyone in this room, we've all been there, suffering from the impelling waves, dashing from all directions, and wondering if the tides of trials would ever cease. We've all been there. But did you notice something interesting? Keep that scripture up, if you will. You're ahead, Caleb. Go back to Psalms 42 and 7. Did you see something interesting about Psalms 42 and 7? This is so interesting. The psalmist describes the waterspouts, the waves, and the billows as God's property and not nature's. Have you ever noticed that? He's saying, thy waterspouts, thy waves, thy billows. He's saying, they're all God's. And if they are all God's, then God has total command over all of them. And so the difficulty that is upon your life, it's God's. Don't you just trust Him? Now's not the time to exit. Now's not the time to throw in the towel. Now's not the time to just lay back and quit. Now's the time to say, all right, God, Pastor JC's got a point. It's yours. And so I'm trusting you with all of my heart. I'm leaning not on my own understanding. In all my ways, I've acknowledged you, and you are going to direct my path, and wherever you guide, you will provide, and you're going to help me through this difficult time in my life. I love what Job 12 and 22 says. The key, the answer, is in Job. Look at Job 12 and 22. He says, he discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. Look what he says in Job 28 and 11. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. And the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. That always doesn't mean negative things. Sometimes, Sister Laura, Sister Wallen, we're good at this. We want to say, get him, go get him. Go get him, preacher, get him. Oh, yeah, show him the bad thing. That doesn't necessarily mean that when God's bringing the hidden things to light, doesn't always mean negative. It means that somebody has been broken, and there were hidden gifts inside of them, and God broke them, God consecrated them, and then God remanufactured them, recreated them, molded them, shaped them, and now they say, wow, I did not know that that gift existed in your life. And you can say, well, let me tell you about it. I was a man full of hate, full of pride, full of jealousy, full of lust. I was all about myself, and then all of a sudden, I came to an old church, and the pastor was preaching, and I felt a tug on my heart, and all of a sudden I said, God, what are you doing? He's talking about me. How does he know this about me? How did he know that I was a cheater? How did he know that I was a liar? How did he know that I was a thief? How did he know all these things? How did he know that I'm running from God? And all of a sudden I felt a tug, and when our pastor gave the altar call, I come to the altar, and I felt a change. I felt a heaviness leave me. I felt a newness in my life. And that's why I'm walking around today. That's why, because God's given me a new start. God's given me a new song. God's given me a freshness, a newness. Only God can do that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? Do I have a witness in the house? Do I have any instruments? You've been broken, but rebuilt. You've been changed from beauty from ashes. You went through hell. You went through sickness. You went through trials and tests and even a shadow of death. But God said, I still got a call and a purpose on their lives. My, oh, my. You're only one decision away. Put that life point back up there. You're only one decision away from a totally different life. You're one step away from beauty for ashes. One step. Look at Isaiah 61 and 4. How do I apply this to my life? So what? Now what? Isaiah 61 and 4 said, and they shall build. Everybody shout build. They shall build the old wastes. Thank you, God. Folks, just pause for a moment. There's a healing power. I want you to raise your hands right now to heaven. There's a healing power. Thank you, God. High blood pressure, heart murmurs, sinuses, arthritis, sickness, Father, in Jesus' name, hurt, deep wounds. Thank you for healing us, God. Thank you. Listen, he said, then they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations, How many can say, don't start playing just yet, Pastor Crystal. How many can say that you have a child right now that's away from God? I'm talking about a child or children away from God. Listen to me. This is what he's saying. Desolation of many generations. The generation behind us, following after us. I believe this. I saw an article yesterday. They're saying that Generation Z, Gen Z, the men in Gen Z are making a comeback to church like never before. These people that are involved in all of the, the studies that go on, they're seeing a return with men, males of Gen Z. This is what God is saying to us. You're only one decision. Those men are just one decision from a totally different life. Just one decision. You're here this morning, and you're only one decision away. You're just one decision away from a totally different life. The world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. Stand with me this morning. I believe the best way to make true and pure application of this message is to do this one thing, is to face difficulty head on. No more exit strategy. No more trying to get out of it. It's like a doctor telling you, you got to wear this for 7 days, and you're like, uh-uh. Ain't no way. It's like Sister Pam Peters, when I go to the dentist, Dr. Michael Williams, I'd go to the dentist, he said, you got to do this. I'm like, uh-uh. I'll never forget sitting in a dentist chair, and I had 10 $100 bills laying on my lap. And I said, uh-uh. I can think of a better place to spend 10 $100 bills, not at the dentist. You're just one, and it's like, it's difficult. I know it is. I know what you're facing. It's tough. It can be hard. You can want to quit. You want to throw in a towel. Marriages, relationships, jobs.
Ministries.
Yes, ministries. Absolutely. But you face them head on. Go ahead and play, Pastor Crystal. I was 21. And, of course, I just started dating Crystal. I went to a little church there. Have a great, powerful man of God there. Skip Kincaid and his wife were there. It was a little church. And he was on the itinerary, and he would preach to churches that ran, thousands of people. Then he would preach to churches that ran, 30, 40. He was at this little church. I'll never forget this. And I had knew him. I knew his sister-in-law. They were older couples. I always thought that Brother Jose, that God would send me to Mexico when I was in my early 20s. One of my close friends actually went as a missionary to Mexico during that season. I'll never forget this. And I was there, and I had so much expectation. Man, he's going to come talk to me about getting things ready and going to Mexico, and I'm so excited about this and doing missionary work and preaching, and I'll never forget this. I'll go there. Set through the service is fantastic. They brought a group in, Mexicans in, and they sang in Spanish, and it was just so anointed. I just could see myself, oh, I can't wait. And then service is over. We're sitting and talking. He comes and talks to me. Basically says, you're not ready. It's not time for you. This is it. I'm sorry. It's basically what he's saying. I was disappointed. I felt dejected. I felt rejected. I'm like, God, didn't you call me? I had all this hope in my heart and didn't realize. And it's going through difficult times, and I didn't realize that it just wasn't God's plan for my life. He had a different plan for me. I sat, and I remember I walked up this dirt road to my car, and I was so hurt. I looked up at heaven. I said, God, I just wanted out. I didn't want to do the preaching. I mean, I am doing nothing. I'm just barely making it. I'm making minimum wage. And it was, minimum wage at that time was $4.25. I was barely making it. I looked up in the stars that evening, Pastor Carl, and I was angry. And I said, God, I'm never preaching again. So funny the stupid things you say, right? When you're angry and you're upset. Well, guess what? I've been preaching hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times since then. Some of you, you've said that to God. Some of you said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to church anymore. Some of you have been angry at God. Some of you, listen, I have been angry at God for this that I've been going through. There have been seasons in my life. God, why? Why don't you heal me? God, why be angry at what's happened in my life here recently? Angry. But I realize I can never be angry at God. I know God looks down at me and he says, oh, he's having one of those pity parties. He's having one of those temper tantrums. Bless his little heart. You know what God does? He says, I'll work it out of him. I'll send the fire. I'll let him go through some consecration, some difficult times, and he'll appreciate. He'll appreciate me more. Now's not the time to quit. I want your head bowed and your eyes closed because somebody the Lord is speaking to. Nobody looking around. Just be honest. You're in this room, and I want you to be totally honest. Be totally honest. You can't run from God. You can keep it, conceal it from everybody else, but you cannot run from God. You're here this morning, and you say, Pastor JC, I have felt like quitting. That's me. Hold your hand up. I see hands all in this room. Yes, yes, yes. I see hands all in this room. Let me give you some encouragement. Here's the encouragement. Here it is. You can look at me. Look at me. Here's the encouragement. Everyone that's raised your hands, there's a lot more fight in you than you think. There's a lot more resilience in you than you think. It's hard, but when that going gets tough, you just keep going. And you find out, you'll look back, I promise you this, you'll look back even a week, 2 weeks, a month, years from now, and you'll say, man, I'm so glad that I kept fighting. Yes. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Listen, his weakness is strong. I mean, his strength is strong in our weakness. When we're weak, he is strong. And so maybe that's what you need to do right now. God, just give me strength. Give me strength so I won't slap that child of mine, right? God, give me strength so I just won't quit. I won't throw in a towel. Give me strength. People facing addictions can't do it on your own. You've got to have the grace and the power and the mercy of God to help you. It's discipline. It's consecration. We want to give the devil a lot of the credit when really it's just the flesh. The flesh craves. Yeah, It's not the devil, it's a decision. And you're only one decision away from a totally different life. I want you to come to these altars. I want you to minister in music, Pastor Crystal, fellas, whatever you feel. How about go to see? I love that song. I believe that's a song right now in a season of life. You deserve the glory. Let's just do that. And let's find a place at the altars. Let's use these altars. They're here for a purpose, to alter our life for Him.
As we lift your holy name, you deserve the glory.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.